somebody next to you a high five or a hug or a kiss or whatever you can do. How's everybody doing today? Y'all glad to be in church today? We want to welcome all you visitors. My name is Miles. I'm the pastor. I want to welcome everybody in North County watching and also people watching online. How many of y'all are here for the first time? Raise your hand. Oh, wow. Well, wow. Are y'all a group? Y'all got good seats? How y'all get in there so early? Where y'all from? Virginia, Chicago. Is this two different groups or the same? This whole group? Chicago? And who are y'all? New Life Christian Church. Oh, Real Life Christian Church. My bad. Welcome. Is this your first time in California? You came last year. How about the rest of them? Okay, first time. Real quick, let me just, excuse me, y'all. Are y'all like a youth group? What are y'all? Oh, you're going to Mexico? Oh, okay, what are you going to do down there? What are you going to do down there? You're going to build three houses. Okay, very good. Are you the pastor, sir? Who's the pastor? You're the pastor, young guy. Okay, so you're, I was looking at you, young guy. Okay, great, okay. Are you the senior pastor? Very good. I'm sure you told them that they're not going to change Mexico. Mexico's going to change them. Very good. God bless you. Y'all going to have a great time down there. We'll pray for y'all. Be safe. Be very safe. Last week, I was telling y'all I went to a women's football game. How many of y'all were here last week? You heard me say that, right? I don't know if you went or saw on the news last night. They won. Now they're going to their Super Bowl in 2 weeks. Amen. So I was talking to the owner slash player. She's also on the team. Next year we gotta get behind them in the beginning of the season because the girls were bringing the heat. I didn't go to the game. I had something else I had to go to, but they whooped on them again. So it was really encouraging. So I was texting them and emailing them saying, bring the heat, do your thing, you know, bust them up. And I'm thinking, you know, that's what they do. I mean, anyway, it's football. There's only one language, football, whether you're a girl or a guy, it's the same language. We can't discriminate. Everybody's got to just be hard. You know what I'm saying? That's one place you could say, big girl, and it's a compliment, okay? You know what I'm saying, big girl. Oh, they're not even on the team and they yell, big girl. Oh my gosh. Be careful now. Y'all excited. Oh man, let's see your Bibles today. Say one more time. Say word. Let's see your pens. Lesson plan. Oh, gosh. Turn to Genesis chapter 37, first book of the Bible, chapter 37. Genesis 37. You know, when I was at the game, they told me I could yell that. I mean, I don't know how it came up. I just said, I don't know if I could do that out here. But those girls were, they're tough football players. It was great. Genesis 37, first book of the Bible, Genesis 37. Lord, thank you so much for your word. Thank you so much that you created laughter. And I pray you would encourage us today. And many people going through things, through pain, through discouragement, through trials, and I pray that you would just encourage them today. Let them know that there's a bigger picture to what they're going through, and it's going to be okay. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, I'm going to teach you a little football. This is from my experience, not from the women's game, but in football, you have different defensive calls. A lot of people don't know that we, on defense, have plays. We have 30, 40 plays a game. And each one of those plays has several variations. And so every time we get in a huddle, we call a play. We don't just say, go get the guy with the ball. And one of those plays is cover two. And cover two is it may say 34 cover two or something like that. And cover two is where the two safeties, one of which I was, will cover half the field on a pass play. So we back up and we take half the field. The field's about 51 yards long, wide, so we have half the field. And when the quarterback sees the two safeties divide like that, matter of fact, give me your fist. Everyone give me two fists. Just do this, okay? When the two safeties do it with me one more time, when they do this, where's the open space? In the middle, exactly. So when the quarterback drops back and he sees the two safeties do this, he's thinking, I'm throwing in the middle. Well, we also know that too. So we had a play called cover two free, where this is me on your left, my right. We would fake like we're doing cover two. And then I would duck down and come back into the middle, hoping they would throw it there. It's a trap, okay? So there's a lot of mind games going on. That's why guys are doing all the stuff they're doing. They're playing with each other's minds. And so what I did is we were playing the Raiders in Los Angeles in 1984, and I faked like I was going to cover two, and then I ducked down kind of below the sight line of the lineman in front of the quarterback and snuck back into the middle, hoping he was going to throw it to the tight end, and that's exactly what he did. It was Jim Plunkett. Y'all remember Jim Plunkett? How many of y'all don't remember Jim Plunkett? How many of you do not know who the Los Angeles Raiders are, or the Raiders are? So I'm running, and he threw the ball to their tight end at the time. It was a guy named Ty Christensen, and I jumped up in the air, and I went up about maybe 30, 40 feet up in the air. And I'm up, birds are flying by, you know. Plane just took off from LAX and kind of got in the way, so I had to kind of duck. And then as I was coming down into the atmosphere of the Los Angeles vicinity, the ball came. And as soon as the ball hit my hand, something else hit my knee. Now, I literally was still up in the air, and there was a guy on our team named Lyndon. Lyndon was about 6'5", 240 pounds, and he was running in the wrong direction. At least, according to my compass, he was running in the wrong direction. And he was kind of like, trying to catch up to the guy that they were throwing the ball to. And he had a cast on his arm, his whole forearm and wrist had a cast on it. And he swung his arm and hit my knee, this knee, flipped me 360, and that basically ended my career. So I got carried off the field, and I was on the bench realizing it was done. I had a towel over my head. Then I ended up carting me off, and I ended up on the bus driving from Los Angeles to L.A. for 2 hours, sitting next to the doctor, the surgeon. I had ice on my leg, and I'm in the aisle of the bus, and he's next to the window. Now, I had just become a Christian and just gave my life to the Lord, and I was like one of those. We had a very strong Christian group, and a few of us were very outspoken, loud, blah, 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 blah about our faith. And here I was, Christian boy, hurt. So where's your Jesus? And I started asking myself, I wasn't really tripping that God let this happen, but I found myself asking myself, here I am. I'm not supposed to be on the bench right now. I'm supposed to be in the game. Not supposed to be on this cart. I should be jogging off. I'm not supposed to be sitting next to the doctor. Why am I right here sitting next to the doctor? And as we continue our series called Why Do Bad Things Happen, you will find yourself physically in places that your trials bring you that you wouldn't normally be in. And when you have stress, when you have problems, when you have, you know, tragedy come to your life, you will physically find yourself in a physical place around different kind of people that you wouldn't be around unless you had that problem. So you need to ask yourself, God, why am I here? Not why am I here because of my trials. What do you want me to do? Why I am here? So here I am sitting on the bus for 2 hours. I'm a Christian, and God says, Miles, don't forget you still love me, right? Don't forget you're supposed to represent me, right? Don't take a vacation just because you got ice on your leg. And so he says, that doctor next to you, he's not going anywhere. You got him trapped. You got your leg up. You ain't moving. So you got him for 2 hours. What are you going to talk about? You going to whine about your surgery, or are you going to tell him about me? That guy heard about Jesus for 2 hours. So here's my challenge to you. For if you're going through something, yes, a few weeks ago we talked about evil. There is evil in the world, not because God is evil, but because man chose evil. A couple weeks ago we saw about Job. Job lost everything, and he was a righteous man, but yet he worshiped God, and he thanked God. Even though he lost everything, he said, God give, and God takes away. Naked I came, naked I'm going to go back. It's all God anyway. Last week we saw Paul, the Apostle Paul, when he was going to persecute Christians, God struck him to the ground and took his eyesight for 3 days. And Paul says, what do you want me to do? He surrendered. Today we're going to talk about how you can turn your trial into something beneficial for someone else. Beneficial for someone else. Take a minute and stop worrying about yourself and say, God, who do you want me to help? So in this story we're going to look at, it's a man named Joseph. Everyone say Joseph. Okay, let's back up. Everyone say Abraham.
Abraham.
Say Isaac.
Isaac.
Say Jacob.
Jacob.
Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. And Jacob had 12 sons. How many sons did Jacob have?
12.
How many sons?
12.
Very good. One of his name was Joseph. Everyone say Joseph.
Joseph.
All the ladies in the house say Joe. You'll know why in a minute. So Joseph, Joseph was his favorite, Jacob's favorite son, and Joseph's, he was pampered, blah, 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 blah. And his 10 of his other brothers, he had 11 brothers, 10 of his other brothers were jealous of him. And they sold him into slavery. Now, what I'm going to describe to you is a 30-year trial that Joseph went through. 30 years. Everyone say 30 years. And in the 30 years of his trial, at least that we're going to cover today, God used Joseph in powerful ways during that 30-year trial. I don't know if any of you have had a 30-year trial. A lot of you aren't even 30 years old. But he had a trial for 30 years. And during that trial, God did some amazing things through him and in him. And so my encouragement to you is, even though you're trying to deal with your trial, your pain, your suffering, don't miss the ministry opportunity that God gives you amidst your trial. So let's read the story. Chapter 37, first we're going to see that Joseph's brothers sold him into slavery. Chapter 37, let's look at verse 2 to tell us how old he was. This is the history of Jacob. Joseph being 17 years old. How old was he?
17.
It's very important, muy importante, when you read the Bible to pay attention to numbers. God uses numbers on average at least twice in every chapter in the whole Bible to measure something. He's very specific. Numbers is a very, very specific method of measuring. It's the only way you can measure anything is by a number anyway. You have to have a number. And so he says he was 17 years old. This trial that we're going to track is going to be 30 years in process. Look at chapter, the same chapter, verse 23. It came to pass when Joseph had come to his brothers that they stripped Joseph of his tunic and the tunic of many colors that was on him. It was like a cloak of many colors, and it showed that his father favored him. Verse 24, they took him and cast him in a pit, and the pit was empty. There was no water in it. They contemplated killing him because they were jealous of him. 10 of his brothers contemplating killing him. Instead, they sold him. Look at verse 27. It said, come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother and our flesh. Listen, he's our brother. Let's not treat him really bad. We'll just sell him into slavery. We'll never see him again. That's all. And his brothers listened. In verse 28, the Midianite trainers passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph up and lifted him out of the pit and sold him to Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Where'd they take Joseph?
Egypt.
Where'd they take Joseph?
Egypt.
Abraham had a son named Isaac. Say Isaac.
Isaac.
Isaac had a son named Jacob. Say Jacob.
Egypt.
Jacob had how many sons?
Five.
How many sons?
Five.
Say it three times.
Five.
And which one got sold into slavery?
Yes.
And they took him to where? Very good. Turn to chapter 39. Chapter 39. Now, by the way, on a scale of 1 to 10, how horrible would it be to be sold by your brothers into slavery and get taken to a foreign country on a scale of 1 to 10?
10.
10. Put in perspective to your trial. 10. Okay? Verse 30, chapter 39, verse 1. Joseph had been taken down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him from the Ishmaelites who had taken him down from there. The Lord was with Joseph. What? God, why'd they sell me? Where are you at? God, I'm right here. I'm right here. He gets sold to Potiphar. Potiphar, I want that kid. God, where are you at? I'm right here. I'm right here. Well, why don't you do something? I am. You just don't like it. But be patient, Joe. Be patient. Okay? Verse 2. The Lord was with Joseph, and he was successful. He was a successful man, and he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all he did to prosper in the land. And Joseph found favor in sight of his sight and served him. And he made him overseer of his house, and all that he had he put under Joseph's authority. So it was from time to time that he made him overseer of his house and all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was on all that he had in the house and in the field. Joseph, God blessed Joseph so much that Potiphar gave all his stuff under Joseph's authority, and God blessed Potiphar's house because of Joseph. Now think about this. Joseph was sold into slavery. He is a servant, yet God is blessing the person Joseph's working for. God is still working through him. God is still working through him. Let's keep reading the story. Joseph, Potiphar had a wife. Everyone say wife. And she had longing eyes for Joe. Verse 7. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife, hey, casted longing eyes on Joe, and she said, lie with me. All the ladies in the house say, Joe. Do it like this. Do it like this. Joe. On three, just the ladies in the house. One, two, three. Joe. Say, Joe, lie with me. We're just reading the Bible. That's all we're doing is reading the Bible. Just reading the Bible. That's all it is. Good thing my name ain't Joe, right? Anybody here named Joe? Anybody here named Joe? Hey, you got it, Joe. You the man. We should make you stand up. Okay, all the ladies say, Joe, lie with me. On three. One, two, three. But Joe, being a man of God, refused and said to his master's wife, she doesn't have a name, so we're going to call her Shaniqua. She's Shaniqua. Or Betty Joe, wherever your flavor is, it doesn't matter. Betty Shaniqua, look, my master does not know it was with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There is no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. And then, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? So it was she spoke to Joe day by day. Ladies, come on, back up. Ladies, one more time, say, Joe, I'm getting tired. Day by day, and that he did not heed her voice to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside. Uh-oh. She caught him by the garment, saying, now the high voice is gone, lie with me. Ladies on three, can you give me a lie with me on three? One, two, three. Yes. And she grabbed him and said, lie with me. But he left his garment in her hand and he ran. So she grabbed him and he did like Forrest. Remember Forrest Gump? Run, Forrest, run. And he's running and his coat just came off and he ran out of it. The Bible got some great stories. Y'all miss all the juice. This is the juice. All the soap operas is all up in here. Desperate Housewives right here. This is Desperate Housewives. Verse 14, that she called to the men of the house and spoke to them, saying, see, Potiphar, my husband, has brought to us his Hebrew to mock us. He came in to lie with me, and I cried out with a loud voice, and it happened when he heard it that I lifted my voice and cried out that he left his garment with me and fled outside. She accused him, just like a woman. Let me finish the sentence. Just like a woman who got rejected. It's him. He did it. She lied. Didn't she lie? Yes, she lied. Verse 20. Joseph's master took and put him in prison, a place where the king's prisoners were confined, and he was there in prison. He gets sold by his brothers. He goes into slavery. He's an honorable man. God blesses his boss. His boss's wife seduces him. He does an honorable thing and says no. She lies, and now he's in prison. On a scale of 1 to 10, is this a bad, how bad is this? It's getting worse. It's now a 20. Where's God? Luke says in verse 21, the Lord was with Joseph and showed him mercy and gave him favor in the sight of the keeper of the prison. And the keeper of the prison committed to Joseph's hand all the prisoners who were in the prison. Whatever they did, it was Joseph's doing. The keeper of the prison did not look into anything that was under Joseph's authority because the Lord was with Joseph, and whatever he did, the Lord made him prosper. Well, if the Lord's making him prosper, how come he doesn't get him out of his problems? God can make you prosper in the midst of your pain. It's just not the prosper you want. So in prison, because I don't have time, in prison, there are two prisoners that have dreams, and they both used to work for the Pharaoh. One is the Pharaoh's butler, one is the Pharaoh's baker. Everyone say butler, say baker. The butler had a dream, and Joseph said, you know what your dream means? That in 3 days, you're going to get your job back. And the baker said, well, what does my dream mean? He said, in 3 days, you're going to get killed. You're going to get hung. So he said, since you're going to die, you can't help me, but you, when you get your job back, can you remember me and get me out of prison? In 3 days, he got his job back, and he got hung. But when the butler got his job back, he forgot about Joseph, left him in the prison. This guy, brother, is having a bad life. It's not even a day. But then one day, the Pharaoh has a dream, and no one can interpret the Pharaoh's dream. And the butler remembers, wait a minute, there was a guy in prison. He interpreted my dream, and it was true. You need to go get him. And Joseph's now standing in front of Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, Egypt, the most advanced country in the world at that time. And here's Joseph. Let me back up. He gets sold by his brothers into slavery. Horrible. He works for Potiphar and he gets blessed. And then he gets lied about and gets put in prison by a false accusation. He's in prison, serving in prison, being blessed in prison. And he runs the prison, he interprets the dreams, and he gets forgotten again. And now he's standing in front of the most powerful man in the world, in front of whom he would have never been if he had not got sold into slavery. He would have never been in that prison. He would have never been in Potiphar's house to get accused of being put in that prison. And the whole time it was happening, I promise you, he's like, what is going on? Why is this happening to me? You may be feeling the same thing. Why is this happening to me? And sometimes you may never really know the whole reason that you're going through your drama. What you have to trust is God is working it out. But the Bible says all things work together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. All things work together for good according to those who love God, which means those who obey God. Now you just have some fuzzy feeling about God. That you do what he says the whole time. So when Joseph was in Pharaoh's and Potiphar's house, he obeyed God. That's why God blessed him. When Pharaoh's wife was saying, Joe, he said, no, that's not an honorable thing to do. I'm going to obey God. When he got falsely accused by that woman, he got put in prison, he obeyed God and God blessed him in the prison. And when they came to him for help, he obeyed God and he says, I'm going to interpret this dream for you. He was faithful, 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 even while he was suffering. Look at number 1 in your notes. Number 1 in your notes. It says, grow where your trials plant you. Grow where your trials plant you. Take a break. Take a vacation, take a sabbatical from complaining. Why me? Why is this happening to me? It's not fair, blah, 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 blah. Let me deal with the fair issue. We're all sinners and we deserve death. So if you're not dead, it's fair. If you're not dead, it's fair. It's more than fair. Jesus died for your sins, so it's fair. It's righteous. It's more than fair. And so okay, take a break from that and say, God, how do you want me to grow? How do you want me to trust you in this environment? When I was on that bus sitting next to the doctor, I had all the reasons, man, I just worked so hard. I got all this. I did this. And I had the perfect opportunity. I had the perfect play, everything. And now my career is over. And God said, you know, very quickly, God said, okay, you get over it now. Let's go to the, what do you want? Guess what I want you to do now? You got this guy for 2 hours on the bus next to you. He needs to hear about me. So tell him. And it was cool. I was fine. I said to the doctor, my career is over. Here's why. Boom, 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 boom. You know what he said? God nodded his head. He got it. I said, but my life's not over. I got Jesus. So let's talk about you. You work every day, all day. How's your family? Where are you with God? Blah, 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 blah. I got 2 hours with you. You're not going anywhere because I ain't getting up. And you got to be with me. And so, you know, if you ever go to New York City, how many of y'all have never been to New York City, by the way? Okay, you need to go before you die, for real. It is, you need to go to New York City, Manhattan, whatever. New York City is like five San Diegos in one city. Literally, it's five boroughs, Bronx, Queens, Brooklyn, Staten Island, and Manhattan. Manhattan is only one-fifth of New York City, it's one borough. And they all are about in population size of San Diego. It's an amazing, amazing place. And if you go to Manhattan, it is concrete for as long as you could see. But you'll be walking down the street, and it's concrete for miles as long as you could see, and you'll see a crack in the sidewalk with one blade of grass growing. One. Just one. Some reason, a little seed got in that crack in this sea of concrete, and you know what that seed said? I'm going to grow right here. I'm not going to complain. Put me in Central Park with all my buddies. Send me to Long Island. Send me upstate. I'm growing right here. And I'm going to stick my head up and say, hey, look at me. I'm a great grass. Look at me. Look at me. And everybody's going to walk by, millions of people a day. And let me tell you something. God's going to put you somewhere. You may feel all alone. Grow right there. Don't say, God, you know, I need better conditions. No, no, no. This is the perfect place. The perfect place. Look at number two in your notes. Number two. Find God's power and favor amidst your pain. In other words, you may be praying, God, get me out of this trial. And God says, no, not yet. I don't want to get you out of trial. What I want to do with my power is I want to do something through you. I want to do a miracle for somebody else. But God, what about me? Not yet. Relax. If you ever go to the hospital and say, got to stay in the hospital, that's your ministry for as long as you're in the hospital. That's your ministry. 3 months after we started this church, I had my thyroid glands taken out. And the only, I went to the doctor and said, look, you got to cut my, they got to cut my throat open. They cut it open. Literally. I got pictures. I said, can you take pictures during surgery? I want to see what you're going to do. And they got pictures of my throat open and stuff taken. It was nasty. For reals. And I said, what is the danger of this surgery? Well, the only danger is pretty routine. But the only thing that could possibly happen is you could lose your voice. I was like, say that again? Obviously, I didn't lose my voice. I promise you, and this is just my opinion. My opinion means what? I promise you this, that the devil was saying to his demons, listen, when that scalpel is in his throat, you better make sure something happens. Because this little tiny nerve that goes to your voice box, cut that bad boy. Obviously, it didn't happen. But I was in the hospital, I don't know, 2 or 3 days or whatever it was, and for the time I'm in that hospital, God, who do you want me to minister to? How do you want me to minister? Now, maybe nobody, but I got to be open to that. And so here's Joseph. He's, when we get ready to read, we're going to read, he's 30 years removed from his family. He's been done wrong, done wrong, done wrong, done wrong. He's still being done wrong, but he's still serving God. And God is still working through him. And even though God's not answering his prayer to send him back home, he's still being used by God. Why? Because he was faithful to God. Because it wasn't all about Joseph. It was about God. So he's standing in front of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh had a dream. He had the same dream twice. Joseph is going to tell him what the dream means. And then Joseph is going to get a job. The biggest job of his life. Look what it says. Chapter 41, verse 28. It says, he's talking to Pharaoh. This is the thing which I have spoken to Pharaoh. God has shown Pharaoh what he is about to do. Verse 29, chapter 41 of Genesis. Indeed, 7 years of great plenty will come through all the land of Egypt. You're going to grow crops. You're going to grow. Your animals are going to multiply. You're going to have all this abundance of wealth in your crops. Verse 30. But after 7 years of famine will arise, and all the plenty will be forgotten in the land of Egypt, and the famine will deplete the land. So the plenty will not be known in the land because of the famine following it, for it will be very severe. The dream was repeated to Pharaoh twice because the thing is established by God, and God will shortly bring it to pass. Now, therefore, let Pharaoh select a discerning wise man to set him over the land of Egypt, and let Pharaoh do this, and let him appoint officers over the land to collect one-fifth of the produce of the land in Egypt in the 7 plentiful years. And let them gather all the food in those good years that are coming and store up grain under the authority of Pharaoh and let them keep the food in the cities. Then that food shall be a reserve for the land for the 7 years of famine, which shall be in the land of Egypt, that the land may not perish during the time of famine. So basically Joseph says, here's your dream. There are going to be 7 years of plenty. You're going to grow all these crops, and then there's going to be 7 years of famine. So what you need to do is you need to collect every one of those 7 years, one-fifth, store it, save it, put it in the storehouses, so when the famine comes, you're the one who has all the food. And then you can save everybody. Is that a good plan? Is that a good plan? Everyone say yes. So it's an ingenious plan. By the way, Joseph was a slave. Joseph was falsely accused of sexual harassment. He's in jail. Joseph is now giving the Pharaoh, the most powerful man in the world, advice about how to run the country. And the only way that happens is because his brother sold him into Egypt, into slavery. And look what it says in verse. And by the way, if you ever go to your boss, your manager, whoever oversees you in your job, don't go to your boss, your manager, whoever, with a problem, thinking you're doing a good thing. Hey, we got a problem. Because if you don't have a solution, all you did was create more work for him or her. You want to go with a problem and then solution options to the problem. Ah. I'm just trying to help you out. Verse 37. So the advice was good in the eyes of Pharaoh and in the eyes of his servants. And Pharaoh said to his servants, can we find such a one as this, a man in whom is the Spirit of God? And Pharaoh said to Joseph, inasmuch as God has shown you all this, there is no one as discerning and wise as you. You shall be over my house, and all my people shall be ruled according to your word. Only in regard to the throne will I be greater than you. What? Joseph gets sold, he goes to slavery, he gets falsely accused, he goes to prison, and now Pharaoh is saying in one conversation, you are the man. You are going to rule the country. And Joseph is starting to realize, maybe God had a plan back when I got sold. Maybe God knew all this was going to happen. Not that God caused it to happen, it really doesn't matter at this point. He's starting to realize that God has a bigger good to come out of his pain. Well, guess what happens? 7 years of plenty come, they start to save all the food, and then the famine starts, and the famine reaches Joseph's family back in Canaan. And Joseph's father tells his brothers who sold him, go to Egypt because someone there has food. Ha, ha, ha! And they come a-begging. We need some food for our people over in Canaan land, back on the horse, back on our plantation. And they go, you need to go see Joseph. And Joseph sees his brothers who sold him into slavery. What's Joseph going to do? What you going to do when they come for you? Turn to chapter 45. Before you do that, chapter 45, number three in your notes, discover God's plan to bless others through your painful experience. God, I am hurting and I want this pain to go away. It's not fair. But please, if there's somebody you want me to encourage now, show me. If there's somebody that you brought into my life just because of my pain that you want me to encourage, show me. Chapter 45. This is 30 years after he was sold. 30. It says in chapter 45, Joseph could not restrain himself. He has already been talking to his brothers, but they don't know who he is. It's 30 years later. He's now talking a different language. Joseph could not restrain himself before all those who stood by him, and he cried out, make everyone go out from me. So no one stood before him while Joseph made himself known to his brothers. He wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard it. Joseph said to his brothers, I am Joseph. Does my father still live? He doesn't even know if his father's alive. But his brothers could not answer, for they were dismayed in his presence, saying, what are you talking about? Joseph said to his brothers, please come near me. See, so they came near him. He says, I am Joseph, your brother whom you sold into slavery. And they went, oh, snap. My bad. We didn't really mean that, Joe. It was an accident. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? This is a powerful dude. And it says, Verse 5. But now do not therefore be grieved or angry with yourselves because you sold me here, for God sent me here before you to preserve life. You know what, fellas? I cried out when you sold me. It hurt me to my heart. You saw the anguish in my face. The Bible says, I believe in chapter 42. You saw the anguish in my face. But now I see God meant it for good. You may not see today how God is going to use your injury, your pain, your suffering. But if you obey God, he will use it. He will. Turn to chapter 50. Joseph speaking to his brothers again. Joseph said, do not be afraid, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you meant it evil against me, but God meant it for good in order to bring about as it is this day to save many people alive. Therefore, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spoke kindly to them. God wants to do something powerful through you while you are in your pain. God wants to do something powerful through you while you are in your pain. Often we get so consumed with just getting rid of the pain that we miss the ministry opportunity. We miss the ministry opportunity during the pain. We miss the ministry opportunity created by the pain. And we miss the ministry opportunity after the pain. Because it's all about getting rid of the pain. And God says, you missed it. You missed it. I had something so powerful for you. Something so life-changing for somebody else. It wasn't really about you. Was I upset that my knee was hurt? Yeah, but you know what? It wasn't really that big a deal. I mean, that ended my career sooner and got me into ministry sooner. Hey! At the time, I was like, okay, God, whatever you're going to do. And at the time, you might not know what's going on. You might not know why it's going on. But if you say, Lord, I'm open to whatever you're doing because you are a master organizer and strategist. And even if someone evil comes and does something evil to you, not that God did it, but that evil person did it, God can take that incident and somehow his incredible sovereignty and turn it to something very powerful in your life and the life of others. If you let him. Someone once said, if you want to get rid of a problem, get a bigger problem. Sometimes that bigger problem is in the life of somebody else. Turn to 2 Corinthians. We'll end with this verse. 2 Corinthians chapter, the eighth book of the New Testament. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 3. Now, in these two verses, I'm going to say comforts, comforted, five times. Two verses. How many times?
Five.
How many times?
Five.
Say it three times.
Five.
Five. And I'm going to ask you to repeat it with me when I say it. You'll get it. Verse 3, chapter 1, verse 3, 2 Corinthians. It says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort. Say comfort.
Comfort.
Who comforts with an S? Say comforts.
Comfort.
Us in all our tribulation. Why? That we may be able to comfort. Say comfort.
Comfort.
Those who are in any trouble with the same comfort. Say comfort.
Comfort.
With which we ourselves have been comforted by. Say comforted it.
Comfort.
Some comforted it. What God does is we go through a trial and we say, oh God, I'm going through a trial. Please comfort me, comfort me. And then God sends comfort. Let's say comfort's represented by this Bible. He says, okay, here's your comfort. And you rub your comfort all over your body. Woo, woo, God, that was close. Woo, ah, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. And you take that comfort and you throw it away. And you go about your business. And in time, you forgot what God did for you. And God says, hold up, hold up, hold up. This don't belong to you. This don't belong to you. Don't be throwing it away. You're supposed to use this for somebody else. Remember, I'm going to comfort you in all kinds of tribulations that you may comfort somebody else with the same comfort you were comforted with. How many times have y'all been comforted? You got all these comforts sitting all over your house. Oh, when I broke up with my boyfriend, when my girlfriend dumped me, when I lost my house, when I lost my job, when I didn't get the Nikes I wanted, all the little times God comforted you. All the little drama queen moments you had. And you put all of them and you threw them away. You don't even remember what they were. And then you meet someone going through the same thing. And you're like, oh, how immature. They're worried about that. Instead of saying, I got what you need. Here you go. Oh, yeah, I got what you need, too. There you go. I got what you need. There's ministries in this church started by people because they took their pain and the comfort and started a ministry with it. So here's my challenge to you. My challenge to you is to step back from your painful situation and say, God, last week we talked about surrender. 2 weeks ago we talked about worship. It's to step back and say, God, is there somebody in my world you want me to bless, to encourage? The devil is banking that you are not going to be mature enough and humble enough to look through your pain to help somebody else. And you will find yourself saying, I'm praying for somebody while I'm going through something. Exactly. Exactly. I'm encouraging, calling somebody, calling them up, visiting them, going, spending time helping somebody else with their problem when I got this problem. Exactly. And God will teach you something during that moment that you could never learn. Because you will pray prayers during your pain. You will never pray when you have no pain. You will hear things from God during your pain. You will never hear without your pain. And so my encouragement to you is to step back and say, God, who do you, you put me in this physical place, in this emotional place for a reason. Who do you want me to help? Show me. Who? And all of a sudden, you know what's going to happen? And I've experienced this many times, and I know you'll have. The problem will not go away, but yet it will go away. It'll still be there. Like your man or your girlfriend that left you, they're still going to be gone. But you're going to be like, I'll get a better one. I ain't like her anyway. You know what I'm saying? Hypothetical. Let's all pray. Lord, thank you so much. Lord, I pray that you perform miracles in people's lives related to their pain. I pray that not only do you give them victory over the problems and pain they're going through now, but that you give them victory in their perspective of pain and disappointment and not getting their way. That we would learn to roll with it and allow you to unfold your story in our life instead of jumping to so many quick conclusions about what's really going on when we don't really know anything about what's going on. Bring people into our life that we can encourage with the lessons we're learning amidst our pain. In Jesus' name, amen. Got 2 more weeks. Come on back. Bring a friend. God bless you. God bless you.